you found Psalm 46, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, Brother Jim, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? I'd like to take you back to verse number 10. God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Know that I am God. Amen. Know that I'm God. So many times we draw close to God in our walk, and then we find ourselves getting far away. Sometimes we reverence him in our daily life, and sometimes we go about life and we just take God for granted, and he's just another word, he's just another thought, he's just another image that we imagine in our minds and in our lives as we go through life. We take God for granted in so many things. When trials and troubles come our way, we seek to everything and everyone, but to the one that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. We deal with life as though life was fragile, and it is in so many ways. But we have a God that's in control of life. We have a God who has his hand on the pulse of what's affecting you in your life, and he's not oblivious to what's going on. So why do we take him for granted? And sometimes trials and troubles and problems come as he's listed here in our lives, and he has to tell us, be still and know that I am God. Amen. We forget who it is that we serve. We forget who it is that has redeemed us. We forget who it is that loves us. We forget who it is that cares for us like he does. Be still. Know that I am God. Amen. I want you to take some time this morning just to think about this psalm as it was pinned down, and as we go to it, and to realize just who God is, amen, and just who God wants us to understand that he is, and to see him as he is, amen. He listed all these things in the first part of the psalm that he's in control of, and comes down into verse 10 and says, be still and know that I am God. I want you to know something. He was God when he saved me. Amen. He was God when I needed his healing and he healed me. Amen. He was God when I went through some trials and troubles in my life. Amen. He was God. And I want you to know something. He's still God today. He was God for the Hebrew children when they went through the Red Sea. He was God to the Hebrew children in the midst of the fiery furnace. He was God with Paul and Silas as they sung praises and prayed and called upon His name in the Philippian jail. And He's still God today. He was God that stood with the martyred saints of old as they stood for the truth of the gospel and stood for the truth of His word. He was God for Martin Luther as he went through his dark depressions and his dark times and his persecutions after he proclaimed that salvation was by grace through faith and not through the baptism of the church. He was God to Martin Luther. He was God to Dietrich Bonhoeffer as he suffered the agonies and the things that he went through under the Nazi regime in their concentration camps and give his life for the cause of Christ, but sticking and holding to his faith in Christ. He was God to them, and he's still God today. We forget who it is that redeemed us. We forget who it is that saved us. We forget who it is that the preachers preach about and the writers write about and the song writers sing about. He's God. He's God. And He's not just any God. He's the living God. Amen. He's the omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-being, omnipresent God. Amen. He's everywhere, knows everything, and can do anything. Praise God. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a bunch of dead gods that are made out of wood and stone. I'm not talking about a bunch of gods that people have built up in the midst of their imaginations. I'm talking about the living God. His name is Jehovah. He sits on high. Amen. He's greater than anything that you can imagine. He's more magnificent than the most beautiful thing that you've ever witnessed. He's more powerful than the greatest power you've ever experienced. That's the God I'm talking about this morning. Amen. In verse number one, he says, "Know that I am God." The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want you to know something this morning. If you know God and you really know God, you know this morning that He's enough. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, praise God, He's enough. Amen. He said He's a refuge. He's our strength. He's there, a very present help. Praise God. When trouble comes, I have a hiding place. I have a refuge to run to. I have someone to go to. I have someone who will wrap me in His arms and keep me and hide me when I need to be hid. He'll protect me when I need to be protected. But praise God, He's enough. He's a strength. Hey man, I'm thankful that He's never weak. And when I'm weak, He's always strong. And when I need strength, He's always there to strengthen me. He's always helped me and encouraged me and strengthened me in the midst of the trials and the troubles that I have faced in life. He said, I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. Praise God. You don't have to wonder when He's going to show up. You don't have to wonder where He's going to show up. But praise God, He's a present help. He's always on time. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's always on time. Amen. He don't show up on our time frame. He shows up on His time frame. He don't work according to our wills and our desires, but He works according to His own. Amen. He's an on-time God that strengthens us and that shelters us in the midst of whatever it is that we need to be sheltered from. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the God that's enough for anything that we face in our life. In verses 2 to 3, it says, therefore, how will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Praise God, I want you to know something. He's not only enough for whatever you need. He's enough for anything, because He is the God, and He is the Lord, and He is the Master of all creation. Amen. That's the God I'm talking about. We didn't evolve. We were created. Amen. I don't know about you. Your ancestors might have swung from a tree, but mine didn't. Amen. I was created in the likeness and the image of God. Amen. I didn't evolve from nothing. I was spoken into existence by the one who knew me before He even formed me in the mother's womb. Amen. The earth and the trees and the sky and the waters and the mountains and all the things that we see and all the things that we stand in all of are in His control. He said the waters may roar, that the earth may crumble, the mountains may fall into the sea. But praise God, let me tell you this, He is the one who created it, and He's still in control of it all. Amen. Why do we fear, and why do we tremble, and why do we let things upset us so, if we know God is who He really is? We know that God spoke the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that were created by Him. Amen. We say we know that, but do we really know that? Amen. If we know that, we know that He's in control, why do we fear so much? He says, be still and know that I'm God. Know that I'll be enough for whatever your need is. Know that I'm the one who spoke the world and all of creation into existence, and I'm still in control of it all. I might let things happen in life that may bring fear into your life, but I'm still your God. I'm still the one that's in control of all this. Stories told of a place where they were having violent earthquakes, and folks were terrified as these earthquakes were shaking the ground and destroying things and messing things up. And there was one old lady that lived in this village who had become a Christian many years ago. And as everyone was running around and their hearts were all terrified and they were fearful and they were scared because of what was happening, she just sat there calmly and peacefully enjoying the life that was happening around her. And they asked her, said, is there something wrong with you? What's the matter? The earth is shaking. The earth is quaking. And we don't know when it might even just disappear. Why aren't you afraid? She said, because I'm sitting here just amazed that the God that I serve, the God that I know, is able to shake a world like this when no one else can do anything. Anything. Praise God, when your earth and when your world is shaking, I just thank God that you serve a God that's able to shake your world and give you peace at the same time. Amen. That's when you know that you know God. Amen. He said, be still and know that I am God. How do you know somebody knows God when you see them go through a trial and they have peace in their life? and they have peace in their heart. Look, he says, there's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Do you remember when Jesus met the woman at Samaria by the well? And he told her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me of living water. And I would give you waters that would spring up in your souls. And she said, man, I want this living water. And how can I have this living water? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, I shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life. Praise God, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. There's a river that flows into the lives. He says it branches out. Amen. And he'll make glad the city. There's a river of life that helps me to know that he is alive and that he is well and that he's in control. There's a river of life that springs up in my heart, in my soul, in my darkest hour. I'm reminded that I have life and I have a more abundant life because I know him as my personal Savior. I know him, the source of living waters. I know him, the source of eternal life. I know him, the source of all hope. And what can the world do to take it away? Not one thing, because in him I have all that I need. He's enough. He's in control. And he's the source of the life that I live. The Apostle Paul, he even testified to the fact that he had had a lot of things and he had had to give up a lot of things in his life and in his ministry for Christ. He said, but the life that I now live, amen, he said, I live to the glory of God. And praise God, how can a man say that when he's been through everything that the Apostle Paul said, because his eyes aren't on his circumstances. His eyes aren't on his God. His God isn't a head knowledge, but his God is a heart knowledge. His God isn't just another God that other people worship and offer sacrifice unto, but his God is the God that has sprung up in his life, those living waters that give him hope and give him encouragement and give him help to go on. Amen. The Bible says that that living water, that river of life, it flows out from the throne of God. Isaiah said in chapter 66 in verse 12, that it's a river of peace. He said he would give us peace like a river. In Revelations 22, verses 1 and 2, he said, praise God, that we would have, and we could see the Revelator, John the Revelator, he saw that living water flowing out from the throne of God. You know what? We can live without a lot of things in this life, but we can't live without water. Amen. We can go without food. They say you can go without food for several weeks. Amen. Some of us have stored up so that we can last a lot longer than others of you. Amen. But praise God, face our demise when the storehouse runs out. But they say we can live maybe 3 days without water. I want you to know something. You won't live eternally 1 second. Without that living water that Jesus can give you, that living water that Jesus can put in your heart and in your life. You might survive some time without the physical needs. But praise God, you can't last and you can't go on and you can't face an eternity without that living water in your heart and know that you're going to survive to live a life that God has intended for you to live. And praise God, he gives us that living water. Amen. When that woman at the well heard about that living water, she wanted that living water. I hope today that you thirst after and you desire to know this God that has this living water. I pray to God this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that before you leave here this day, you'll let him give you that living water that springs up in your soul, and you'll know him as the source of life, as the source of help, as the source of all that you need in your life. I look on down to verses 6 and 7. He said, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That word Selah means you need to take account of what's been said. You need to mark it down. It has great importance. Let me tell you what. It don't matter what's going on around you. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. And he that's with us is greater than he that's with them. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah and his servant were down at Dothan, and the king came, Syrian king. I had to think of which nation it was. Amen. Getting two different stories mixed up because they both got the same thing. Amen. And they were both Syrian, but they came. I think it was Ben-Hadad came. And he sought after Elijah because someone had been divulging his plans. And he said, I don't know, somebody in our midst is a spy. Somebody in our midst is telling what we're going to do. And they said, no, it's not somebody here. They said the prophet, the man of God, Elijah, he knows what's going to happen because God, amen, only a living God could do that. Amen. Only an all-powerful God could do that. It's revealing what's going to happen. And he said, listen, where's this fella at? I want to get him. He said he's down at Dothan. And they run down to Dothan. And they encircled the city and camped round about. And when they woke up in the morning, they looked out, and the chariots and the warriors had surrounded the city. And the man of God was just sitting there, and his servant was fearful. His servant was terrified. His servant thought the end had certainly come. And Elijah said, God, open his eyes and let him see what we see. And when God opened his eyes, he seen the hills were filled with the chariots of God, and the armies of God were camped around about him. And he said, greater are they that are with us than they that are with them. The same thing happened a few years later when old Hezekiah was shut up in Jerusalem, and Sennacherib had come and it surrounded the city. He done defeated 45 cities, 45 towns of the land of Judah around about Jerusalem. He done had them all in bondage and carried them away captive. And he sent word to old King Hezekiah and to the people in Jerusalem. He said, don't let Hezekiah fool you. He said, don't let him convince you that this God that he says can do anything is going to do anything. He said, because no God of the people that we have conquered has been able to stand against my Lord, the King. And he said, as surely as we've destroyed them, we're going to destroy you. Oh, Hezekiah was a man of God, and he knew where to go when he had a problem. He called upon the name of God. He sent the men of God to call on God. He sought God's face and God's direction, and God told him, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. And praise God, when you have him on your side, you have enough. You have all that you need. You have the one that's in control. You have the one that gives life. You have the one who stands for you. He stands with you. He'll stand against the enemy when he comes your way. Praise God, he wants you to know that he's a mighty warrior. Amen. And nothing that hell wants to unleash against you, amen, can overwhelm you and overtake you, amen, unless he allows it to happen, amen. Doyle Lawson sung a song several years ago, said, nothing can touch me that doesn't come through his hand, amen. Nothing can happen in our life that God doesn't allow to happen. Sometimes we think it's because we're so godly, or sometimes because we're so wrong, we don't understand why. Job was doing everything right. God said he's a perfect and an upright man, a man that fears God and excuses evil. That was God's assessment of Job's life. And yet, look what happened to Job. Amen. Now we can sit and we can complain, or we can praise God that he's chosen to allow us to go through another valley that might lift him up. Another valley that might give him glory. Another valley that might lay honor on him. Not because he chooses to heal us, but because he chooses to sustain us. Not because he chooses to change our circumstances. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms your heart. Sometimes he just calms the storm and it's all done. But either way, it's how God chooses to do it. And we need to praise him in the midst of our storms and trials. You see where it referred to him there as the God of Jacob? You wonder why they put that there, the God of Jacob. Why not the God of Abraham? Why not the God of Israel? No, he said, the God of Jacob. Isn't that kind of curious why he uses that sometimes? We know who Jacob was. He was called the supplanter. That's what Jacob meant. A conniver. Amen? A schemer. A deal maker. A weasel. Amen? Trying to get over on somebody. Why did God use him instead of Esau? Esau was an honorable man. He didn't cheat anybody out of anything. But he didn't hold precious some of the things that God gave. But God said, I chose Jacob. And I hated Esau. I chose Jacob over Esau. Jacob was the younger. Esau was the elder. God said, but I chose him. You ever wonder why God chose Jacob? Maybe you wonder why God would have chose Rahab, a harlot, to be in his family tree and his birth lineage. All the honorable women that were around in that day and in that time, but yet he chooses a harlot. Why the God of Jacob? Why a harlot? Because God doesn't fight for us. God didn't send his son to die for us. God didn't give himself totally over for us on the merit of who we are. But because of who he is. And because his grace will always be sufficient. Because his grace was sufficient to bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. His knowledge of how we should live and how we should become that new creature to be more like Christ in our daily lives. His power, as we were studying in Sunday school this morning, and his ability to help us to become more Christ-like in everything that we do. He wants us to know that his grace is sufficient for that, because his grace is endued. His grace is fortified. His grace is backed up by his power to do what he wants to do. And greater is he with us than he that's in the world. Greater is he that is with us than the enemy that comes our way. Greater is he than the disease. Greater is he than the person. Greater is he than the circumstance. Greater is he than the storm that we fight. And it don't matter who we are, he loves us anyway. And he bestows his grace upon us to show up when we need him, where we need him, amen, and to meet our need according to his will, according to his knowledge. But do we know him enough that when we look out and we see the circumstance, we can see his answer to the circumstance? It just says his servant there in 2 Kings chapter 6, I believe it was probably Gehazi. And I can imagine old Gehazi looking out, and all he is seeing is the Syrian army. But when Elijah looks out, he sees Dothan surrounded by the Assyrian army. But praise God. Amen. He sees the Assyrian army surrounded by God's army. Be still and know that I am God. Are you seeing God beyond your circumstances? Or are you allowing your circumstances to keep you from seeing God? Be still and know that I'm God. If you know that I'm God, you know that I'm going to be there. If you know that I'm God, you know that I'm not going to let anything happen to you that I don't intend to happen to you. Be still and know that I'm God. And if you know that I'm God, you're willing to trust me completely no matter where you are, no matter when it seems like all was hopeless. In verses 8 and 9, he says, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He also maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and stretcheth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. You see, God's aware of the turmoil that's going on. Amen. Nothing has slipped up on God. Nothing has happened in your life, and nothing can happen in your life that God's not aware of. As they look at the turmoils, he's allowed to happen. Sometimes he brings turmoil in our life. Amen. To help us to know that he is God. Amen. Sometimes he brings trouble. Sometimes he brings trials. I was talking to Brother Jack the other day at the hospital. I said, can you imagine the Apostle Paul when he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and telling about all the beatings and the scourgings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and everything that he's been through in chapter number 11. And then in chapter 12, he said, but then there was given me this thorn in the flesh. I said, I can almost hear in Paul's writing the thing that we say so many times. Well, God, I've tried to do everything. I've done this and I've done that. I've tried to be the perfect Christian. I've tried to live the perfect life. And I've asked you for one thing. I've asked you to do one thing. And God, you haven't done it. Why haven't you done it? And God said, my grace is sufficient. That's why. That's why. I've already given you everything that you need. I knew every turmoil that you went through. I knew every lash that was laid on your back. I knew every time the rod struck you and you cried out in agony and pain. I knew when you were treading water and didn't know if you could tread water much longer before deliverance came. I knew everything. And I knew about that thorn in your flesh. I knew that the thorn was there. And I haven't taken it away. Because in everything else that you've been through, you found my grace was sufficient. Amen. Why do you think it's insufficient now? Why do you think it can't do? Man, I don't know what... We're just talking, and that thought just come to my mind as we're sitting there talking. I said, wow, that preaches, Jack. It preaches right to me. Why? Because God says, know that I'm God. I'm the God in the turmoil. I'm God in the peace. I bring the desolation. I allow it to happen in the earth, but I can cease the wars and make them cease to the end of the age. That's the God that I am. But because I am the God that I am, my grace will always be sufficient. And over there in 1 Peter, I think it is, and he says, he gives more grace. Amen. Troubles come and troubles go. Praise God, his grace is always sufficient. Amen. His grace will always be there. His grace will always be unwavering. His grace will always be impartial. His grace will always be applied when we know who it is that we're dealing with. When we know who it is that we're calling on. When we know who it is that strengthens us. Paul didn't say, well, I'm going to throw down the gauntlet and challenge God. I'm going to lay out the fleets and I'm going to challenge God. He says, therefore, I would rather glory in mine infirmities. Amen. Why? He said, because God's grace and God's power is made manifest in the trials we go through when we're weak and when we're frail and when we realize, hey, he's God. And he's in control. Be still. Be still. Take time. Stop running. Stop fighting. Stop trying to figure it out. And say, Lord, here it is. You said you would handle it. You said you would deal with it. Lord, here it is. Here it is, Lord, because you're God. I can trust it to you. Because of who you are, I'll accept what you've given me. I'll accept where you've placed me. Many hear missionaries tell us some of the places they're going. Hey, amen. I don't want to go there. Brother Yinka Fassenro is purposely planting churches in the northern part of the country where God has called him to be a missionary, where the Muslims are coming through and killing Christians because the Christians there have come desiring churches to be planted. He's planting churches there. The Haynes family has left to go to Kurdistan so they can minister to the Muslim Kurds. Why? Because they want to tell somebody about Jesus. Why? Because that's where God chose to send them when they surrendered their hearts and lives to him. They know that he's God. They know that he's in control. They know that he's God, and they know that he's to be exalted. He's to be lifted up. They know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and of things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I will be exalted in the earth. Are you exalting him? Are you honoring him? Do you really, really know him? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God the not-so-extraordinary man is with us. The God of the everyday man is with us. The God of the chosen man is with us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.